the Victorian Country Hour with Warwick Long on ABC Radio Victoria.
Yeah, let's talk camping changes in the state. In just 2 weeks, as many as 27 sites will be opened up for riverfront camping in Victoria. To quote the government, though, with hundreds of sites to follow. Still, though, there is no answer on what locations will allow camping, where they'll be, or when landholders who are either managing that land or living close by will be informed. We've still got requests in for the Victorian Environment Minister Lily D'Ambrosio and Minister for Fishing and Boating Melissa Horne to talk about the changes to riverfront camping in Victoria. We've been trying for multiple days, over multiple weeks now. We'll keep those requests going in to find out what the government says, or at least get some information on what the rules will be. We're even saying don't necessarily need the minister to talk, even just someone from the department to tell us where these locations will be and what those rules will be. Still, no answer so far. This came from Leo about the camping rule changes to the Country Hour. He says, I feel sick every time the September the 1st is mentioned. I've already had multiple strangers driving their cars through our dairy farm, and they pulled up for about 5 minutes in the middle of the milkers' paddock the other day and wouldn't stop when I got near the buggers. So much for our biosecurity program, says Leo. Well, if we can't have the minister or the government to talk, we can at least talk to the opposition. Peter Walsh is the leader of the Nationals in Victoria. Welcome to the Country Hour.
Thanks, Warwick.
Is it too much to ask for the details around opening up river frontages to camping in Victoria this close to the 1st of September?
Well, it's absolutely essential, Warwick. It should have been out literally months ago. And I suppose that the first point is this is actually a land management and an agricultural issue. It's not a fishing issue. So why is the Victorian Fishing Authority driving this rather than the agricultural department? They're supporting agriculture and farmers. You have that list of ministers who are in witness protection. You should add Marianne Thomas, the agriculture minister, as well to that list, because I would have thought she should be out there vocal, sticking up for agriculture and holding her two ministerial colleagues to account about what needs to be in these regulations. Whether it actually needs to happen at all is, I think, a pertinent question. But if it is going to happen, consult with farmers, understand what's needed in the way of rules about, because the adjoining landholder who has these leases has a whole heap of rules about what they can and can't do on river frontages. But as I would understand, it's effectively going to be basically open slather for people to camp there for up to 28 days, to take half a cubic metre of firewood every day when the adjoining landholder can't take any firewood. And what's going to happen to the rubbish? What's going to happen to the personal waste when people are camped there for 28 days? I just think it is crazy.
Surely those rules are written, though, 2 weeks before the camping rules are meant to be in place. Why aren't they public?
That's the $64 question that you need to ask those ministers who are in witness protection. Why won't they come out? And if they're so strong on doing it, why won't they come out and actually tell us what the rule, or tell farmers what the rules are, and defend their decision rather than hide?
Should the camping changes be delayed, given that there isn't any information made public yet?
Well, I think that, as we've continually said, they should go back and start the whole process again and have genuine consultation with the VFF and with affected landholders. So a lot of the riparian land we've talked about, the adjoining landholders, land care groups have spent, you know, a generation in rehabilitating and making sure that is in good condition. And it can all be lost in a matter of weeks. It could be lost in a matter of hours if there is a fire because of someone camping there.
Yet you did support allowing this to happen in the first place in Parliament, didn't you?
It was one clause in what's called an omnibus bill. And one of the things that I hate about the legislative process in Victorian Parliament now is most bills are what's called enabling bills, where there's very little detail and it's all done by regulation, which is what we're talking about. I much prefer to have what's called prescriptive legislation, where the detail is actually there when you're debating the bill, rather than having this almost retrospective debate once the devil is always in the detail, which is what we're dealing with now, which we didn't have at the time the bill was in the Parliament.
Do you regret supporting it in the first instance?
If we'd known what the government intended by what was very innocuous at the time. Yes, we do.
So what are the major concerns here from you as an opposition leader, leader of the Nationals in Victoria, about these camping changes and what could be in place in 2 weeks' time in Victoria?
The issues that have been raised with us continually is the fact that people that go and camp there, we don't know what the rules are, but they could effectively camp very close to someone's personal house. There was no rules around the whole issues of biosecurity, as was covered by Leo in your introduction. No issues around who's going to police it, who's going to make sure they take their rubbish away, who's going to make sure they leave it in a pristine condition. Having a 1300 number to ring is not going to cut the mustard at midnight when there's trouble on the riverfront close to someone's household. So none of those issues are resolved, and as I understand it, the VFF and farmers haven't been actively engaged in the process of actually developing those regulations. It's the Victorian Fishing Authority who's got carriage of this. And as I said, it's a land management issue. It's an agricultural issue. It's not a fishing issue.
Yeah, so regardless of whether the VFF are involved, the Department of Agriculture should be involved.
Absolutely.
Peter Walsh, the leader of the Nationals, is with you on the Country Hour right now. We're talking about changes of camping legislation in Victoria. Well, we have been talking about that. I will reiterate, we have multiple requests in with the Victorian Environment Minister, Lily D'Ambrosio, and Minister for Fishing and Boating, Melissa Horn, to come onto the program and talk to us about the changes and provide, well, what rules there may be, where these locations are going to be, and what's all going to happen in about 2 weeks' time on the 1st of September when these changes come into place. But Peter Walsh, while we've got you on to some other issues, we're about to hear a story about lack of shearers in Australia, especially with restrictions of travel to New Zealand in place again. But every industry you talk to at the moment, most of them are doing quite well in agriculture, but the one major concern is getting workers, whether that be fruit picking, whether that be harvesting grain, whether that be working with livestock or in dairy. There are multiple concerns coming from producers at the moment. Are you pushing for any changes, or do you see any solutions that should be in place before the spring-summer period in this state to attract more workers to agriculture?
Well, tragically, Warwick, we effectively had all these discussions 12 months ago, so it's not like it's new. The various sectors you talked about struggled through last season. They're going to find it harder this year, and there is just no plan. One of those ministers we just talked about before has not actually come out and talked about the plan to manage these issues in a COVID world. Just having schoolies... The plan to supposedly have schoolies go out and do some work is not going to cut the mustard when it comes to shearing sheep or being a rousey or driving a $500,000 header or a chaser bin. And we say this across a whole heap of sectors, but we're obviously talking about agriculture at the moment. What's the plan to actually get Victoria going again and keep it going in a COVID world? Just locking things down and people getting by is not going to cut the mustard into the future.
To be fair, though, multiple levels of government, not just the Victorian government, nearly every state government around Australia and the federal government has been trying to solve this issue to free up a larger workforce for agriculture, and no one has seemed to be able to provide an answer yet, apart from there being, you know, more travel in a post-COVID world.
Well, but if you go back to the debate we had almost exactly 12 months ago, there was from the horticulture industry, there was a proposal on the table with the Victorian government to build a dedicated facility in Mildura and actually fly flights direct from the Pacific Islands to Mildura, 2 weeks in quarantine, 200 people through that every 2 weeks. Over a period of time, you build up some critical mass. The compromise was made by the Andrews government to work with Tasmania. The numbers that have come out of that, as I understand it, that's basically finished and there's no announcement about an extension. And the horticulture people I talk to have not seen any of those Pacific Island workers at all because it was nowhere near enough to meet demand.
So your understanding is the Tasmanian quarantine program is finished?
Basically, as I understand it, the numbers that were committed to have effectively gone through that, unless there's a new announcement, a new funding announcement, it's going to be all over Red Rover.
We'll follow that up with the government. Just before we let you go, Peter Walsh, are you worried about regional Victoria returning back to lockdown sometime soon. There are multiple reports from ABC programs around regional Victoria of people from Melbourne areas sneaking into the regions and being found out by either food or tourism type businesses. Are you worried we're on the verge of another lockdown?
Every day. And I think every country Victorian is worried about that every day, that there is no clear plan and there's no clear consistency to the rules. It is being made up on the run almost daily. And I think 18 months in, where's the clear plan as to how we're going to manage COVID into the future? Because just continually locking industry and people down, continually denying people, kids, the access to school is not the long-term solution. There has to be a better way of doing it. And we've put forward views. Part of that is actually using rapid testing like they do overseas to keep industry open, keep schools open, to put the work into priority vaccination for various sectors of the community. But that none of that is forthcoming. It's just a constant game of blaming the federal government or blaming New South Wales or blaming someone else rather than taking responsibility and clearly telling Victorians what's the plan for the future.
Peter Walsh, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Warwick.
That is the leader of the Nationals in Victoria, Peter Walsh, speaking to you about multiple issues there, including riverfront camping.